And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You do understand that warfare increases at opportune times, when you're the most vulnerable. And you know, the devil's voice and God's voice sound a lot the same. Sounds a lot like your voice. The difference you can tell is the content. And if the content has a lot of ifs and a lot of whys, then it's the devil. Everything Jesus was if. Oh, if I hadn't have done that. Oh, if they hadn't have done this. Oh, if this hadn't happened. Oh, if this weren't going on. That's the devil. And if you're entertaining that, you're not having a monologue. You're having a dialogue with the devil. And he will win in the end. That's how he sows the seeds of unbelief. Jesus' conversation, even if it's a rebuke, is always solutional. Always full of life. Always full of hope. Always. That was extra. Hear me again. One of the ways you can tell this is the devil having a conversation with you and you're not just thinking things on your own, because his voice sounds a lot like your voice, it's going to be full of a lot of ifs and a lot of whys. God doesn't have any ifs or whys. He knows exactly what's going on. Amen. Doesn't matter whether you do or not. Isn't that interesting? This is from Numbers 20. I want to talk a little bit about faith again. There's a place, the last part of Hebrews 10:29, that says that we have to be careful about insulting the Spirit of grace. And the way we insult the Spirit of grace is through our disobedience. But our disobedience is always about unbelief. This story is when Israel, God's already done a number of miraculous things for them. They're in the wilderness. They come to a place, Rephidim, and there's no water. And they begin to complain to Moses. They even ask the question, is God even in our midst? We should have just been left to die in Egypt. Yada, yada, yada. What Christians do when they're walking in unbelief, what's murmur and complain. And their conversations are full of a lot of whys and a lot of ifs. If we had not done this, you could have just left us there. Why did God bring us here to let us all die of thirst? Hear me. This wasn't what I was going to talk about. This little part. Enemies' conversations always have a lot of whys, a lot of ifs. One of the ways I can tell you've been listening to the enemy is when your conversations have full of whys and a lot of ifs. God doesn't deal with whys and ifs. He's the one who sits on the throne high and lifted up, declaring the end from the beginning and what must take place. Some of you, I just answered a lot of questions for you. I just gave you a prophetic word. All right? And every time we have the conversation, we've come into agreement with the devil, and it gives him more freedom, creates a larger room for him to act in. You hear me? What you believe in your heart is what you confess with your mouth. And if you're confessing a lot of whys and a lot of ifs, it's because you've come into agreement in your heart with the enemy. And you've insulted the Spirit of grace. I'd rather come into agreement with God's conversation, even though I don't have a clue how it's all going to work out. I mean, at some point, we've got to remove everything everybody else has done, every circumstance and situation has created all this. Shut off the faucet of all the whys and the ifs in conversation with the devil. Oh, but it's so logical what I'm thinking. It's so obvious. Look what they've done. Look what they said. Look what's happened here. Look at the circumstances. I understand. Hear me. ABC, Spirituality 101. You want to know how to hear the voice of God? You don't have to have some mystical experience float in the air. God doesn't talk in whys and ifs. Unless it's, why in the world are you walking in such unbelief? You with me? Man, I just feel so strong about that. Because I watch the enemy just winning. Because we carry on these conversations with him as if he has our interest. He's a liar. And he's the father of lies. He may be bringing up a lot of facts to you in his conversation, but he is lying to you. Because he doesn't know the end of the story. It's not the devil's story. It's not even your story. If you're in Christ, it's God's story. Let him finish the story.
Amen.
So I'm not going to get to do all I was going to do. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll start here. Second, Numbers 20. They're complaining, no water, cattle's going to die, livestock's all going to die. And they said this, and why have you made us come from Egypt to bring us to this wretched place? Boy, that's a great... Ever been in a wretched place? Are you in a wretched place now? Let me just tell you something. It's still God's story. You know why they were in the wilderness in the first place for 40 years? Because they wouldn't believe God. And when you won't believe God, he'll just let you walk around the wilderness for a while until you decide you're going to. And it's nobody's fault but yours. Because you come into agreement with the enemy. And when they finally crossed over into the land, an entire generation died out. Only two people from the original group got to go in. A lot of stuff had to die out in the wilderness before they could actually go into what God had promised. And if you and I are going to continue to get caught up in a wretched place, oh, this is just a wretched place. Why if? He'll just let you wander around there for a while until enough stuff dies off in your flesh. You let enough flesh go, you finally go, oh, you actually did say the land was already ours, wasn't it? But there are wretched places that we go through, right? Let me just say this to you. We'll talk about this again tomorrow. God's not on trial. God's not being tested here. You are.
Amen.
You hear me? God's not being tested here. You are. He does test our faith. The Christian life is lived by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That which is not of faith, Romans 14:23, is sin. There are going to be times in your life when there are wretched places you have to walk through. God's not on trial. Your faith is.
Amen.
You hear me?
Amen.
You know what God did? He called a river to come out of a rock, a stone. God will be faithful. There's no what or ifs concerning God. Oh God, if you've done this. Oh God, why'd you do? Oh God, why? The Lord just says what? Trust me. There's a place in Psalm 78, verse 41. It's all about how many times Israel didn't trust God, didn't believe. And the Lord said, the New American Standard says, you caused me pain. But the King James, which is the proper translation in this one, the Hebrew says, you've limited me by your unbelief. If you find yourself in a wretched place, don't limit God. Don't insult the Spirit of grace. Give God permission to do what you don't understand. Understanding it's not the issue. Quit having conversations with the enemy. Stand and believe God. Come into agreement with God. God, I don't know what you're doing, don't know why you're doing it, don't know how you're going to do this, but I trust you. And let God cause rivers to come out of rocks. Rocks are barren. There's no life in a rock unless God touches it. And if you're in a situation or a circumstance that seems barren and lifeless, just be in agreement with God. Trust him. Don't limit him through your unbelief. Jesus said he could only do a few things in his hometown. He could not do great miracles. Why? Because of their unbelief. It's easy to trust him when everything's just going right, isn't it?
Yep.
But when we find ourselves in a wretched place, that's when God wants to do the most powerful stuff. That's when he makes rivers come out of rocks. Let me just say this to you. God likes to show off. So he lets everybody know he's God. Amen? And that's a prophetic word for probably everybody here. Not just a message, but a prophetic word. Lord, teach us your ways. You know, that's one of the things it says about in their hearts were evil about this story. This story offended God the most. Because he had done so much for them. And he said, had they never learned? Don't they remember the Red Sea being parted and all this stuff? Did they ever learn that I like doing things like that? Just allowing situations and circumstances that don't make any sense, that are ridiculous, so I can show off and show the whole world that I'm God. So I can teach you to walk in faith, to believe me in wretched places. Help us, Lord. Set us free. In other words, may we not insult the spirit of grace that we live under. Lord, I thank you that today, miracles, miracles, miracles are going to happen because there's a spirit of grace. It's like a canvas over us. And we're not going to insult your spirit of grace by hoping, by doubting. But Lord, we just want to thank you right now exactly what you're going to do in our midst. Because we operate under a spirit of grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.